Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, thank you very much for tuning in and for sharing the podcast. We need to dive right in today because we've got the Alex Newman today, Liberty Sentinel Media CEO, and my goodness, the New American, and he's just an amazing voice of truth when it comes to the homeschooling and education issue. My goodness, brother, so good to see you. Thanks for your time today, brother.
It's a great blessing to be here. Thank you, brother.
So before we jump into some articles, we'll be talking about all kinds of things, including a climate of tyranny, religions of the world uniting, climate change, alarmism, and all that. But before we do that, you mentioned something before we got on. Very interesting bill that was passed in Florida about gold. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Florida just a few weeks ago became the third state, I believe, to approve this really, really significant piece of legislation, sign it into law. It's called transactional gold. And the thinking is the Federal Reserve, the private banking cartel that is destroying our money, is totally out of control. They're basically stealing our savings, calling it inflation. And Americans need some alternative to be able to preserve their purchasing power, to be able to preserve their wealth. And so a number of states now, it started in Utah, although the governor there vetoed it. Arkansas signed it into law. Now we've got Missouri, Louisiana, Florida just went recently, and now Texas have all passed this transactional gold legislation that will allow citizens to store gold, silver, whatever, in a depository. In Texas, they've actually built a state-owned bullion depository, and some of the other states are going to contract with private suppliers. But you'll be able to store your money in gold, in silver, and you'll be able to spend it with an app on your phone, with a debit card, whatever it is, when you're out doing your shopping, whatever. And it'll immediately convert your gold into Federal Reserve notes if the merchant wants to be paid in Federal Reserve notes, or if the merchant wants gold, the merchant can have gold. So it's an incredible system now coming in. There are already some private companies that do this, but one of the big obstacles, and I was able to ask our Governor Ron DeSantis about this at the signing ceremony, is the federal government still treats capital gains on precious metals as if they were legitimate capital gains, when anybody with two brain cells to rub together knows that's not the case, right? The dollar's losing value. The gold is not gaining value. It's just it's worth more Federal Reserve notes because the Federal Reserve notes are worth less. And so Ron DeSantis told me, and I have from other sources as well, that there's a really good chance that the Trump administration, the Treasury Department, the IRS will come to their senses on this and start recognizing that gold and silver, when used as money, are not investments with capital gains per se. Right. We're going to tax those phantom capital gains, but they're actually just a legitimate form of currency to do trade with.
Well, this is fascinating. I mean, we weren't going to do a deeper dive into this, but it's very important to understand when we started out, what did we do before paper money, before money was printed? Wasn't it gold and silver?
All through the Bible, right? Over and over again, you read that God looks at money as gold and silver. And there's some really strong warnings in the scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. You go back to some of the old laws. False weights and measures are an abomination to the Lord, right? Usury. This entire fraudulent money system that we have today is literally based on usury. They create currency out of nothing. Then they loan it to the federal government at interest. They never created the interest. So we have to borrow more to be able to pay them back what we already borrowed and the interest that they never created. So this is a system that is usury defined. And, you know, they can steal your money at will. If they decide they want to steal half of everybody's money tomorrow, they just double the currency supply and presto, all your dollars are worth half what they were the day before. Gold will stay the same, right? You'll still be able to buy as many suits, as many houses, as many hot dogs as you could before. But we've got to have a better understanding of this. And of course, the scripture is the obvious place to go for insight on the morality of it and the practicality of it.
So, Alex Newman, do you think we'll ever see inside Fort Knox and what's really there?
Something huge is happening with gold, Dave. And, you know, full disclosure, I own some gold. So, I'm invested in gold a little bit. But I believe something very significant is happening. And I think it could go one of several ways, right? If Trump is everything we hope he will be, everything we think he is, This could end up being really good, right? Trump has repeatedly in the past talked about the what's happening to our currency, that they're devaluing it, that they're stealing our purchasing power. He's been on record about this going to at least a decade ago. He started talking about this and how nice it would be to go back to a gold standard, which we formally cut off back in 1971 under Richard Nixon. So that's very encouraging. And I hope we'll move in that direction. You know, when Trump was talking about the possibility of doing an audit on Fort Knox, I don't think he would say that if he didn't know that the gold was there, although I've been very skeptical over the years whether it really is there. But the other possibility here is that with the collapse of the dollar, which I believe could be imminent, and I don't say that to scare people, I just say that because look at the writing on the wall, right? They have inflated it. They have alienated a bunch of other governments that have traditionally used the dollar in international. I mean, right now, central banks are diversifying out of the dollar just as fast as they can, and they're loading up on gold. The other alternative is that they'll try to move toward a new international reserve currency or a new international reserve asset. And I did a cover story on this for The New American back in 2010. So 15 years ago, they were grooming the IMF for precisely this role. They wanted to turn the special drawing rights, which already exist, it's kind of like a proto-global currency, into the one world currency. The Communist Chinese Central Bank was supporting this. Timothy Geithner said they supported this idea, who was the Treasury Secretary at the time. And I think that's the other possibility. Dollar collapses as the international reserve currency, throws the world into economic chaos. The IMF and the Bank for International Settlements step in and say, oh, don't worry, we'll give you a legitimate international reserve currency, and we'll even back it with 10%, 25% gold. And then you slaves, I mean, citizens can trust us.
So what is the modus operandi behind this? Is this about control, so the globalists can control the masses and the one world economy? What are your thoughts on that?
There's no question about it, Dave. There's no question about it. I mean, if you go back to the birth of the Federal Reserve, it was about control. You had a secret meeting of the most influential bankers and politicians on Jekyll Island meeting together to figure out how do we steal control of the nation's money supply, which, by the way, that was Karl Marx, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, that they should have a monopoly on currency and credit. So they got together. They came up with this idea. Quite ironically, they sold it to the people as a way to rein in the bankers. True story. absolutely true, right? They said, this is going to rein in the bankers. So they passed the Federal Reserve Act, which basically gave a private cartel of banks. And I literally called the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. I said, who owns you? And the guy on the phone said, well, we're owned by our member banks. They own shares and we pay them dividends and they elect our officers. So it's not federal. It doesn't have reserves. It's a scam. And this system has allowed them to hijack, to harness the economic, political, diplomatic, and military power of the United States. It has allowed them to expand the size and the scope of government beyond anything we've ever seen throughout history. Right? You go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, God warns the people of Israel, man, this king that you're asking for, he's going to oppress you with 10% taxes. Woo-hoo! 10% taxes sounds like a utopia by today's standards. So that's how bad it's gotten. Now, imagine them being able to do that at the international level, Dave. Imagine them being able to print money at the global level to fund international peace armies and international cops and international kangaroo courts and international propaganda campaigns and international education for your precious little ones. It is a disaster waiting to happen, and it will give them total control over humanity.
Wow. Wow, that's sobering. And it's probably nearer than what we would imagine, but let's move on. You mentioned these powerful bankers and elites and very important, I guess, in people, influential people. Bilderberg, we've heard a lot. Well, some of us have heard a lot about Bilderberg. Some people think that's not a real thing, but they actually do meet. I believe it's annually. And one of the things they've been talking about is depopulation. Alex, and by the way, friends, I forgot to give the website. It's libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. You can find these articles there. So let's talk about the Bilderberg and their recent meeting and what some of their goals are.
Well, thanks, Dave. And so Bilderberg is a group I've been tracking for as long as I can remember. I actually went to their meeting in 2008 in Chantilly, Virginia, not as an invited guest. I kind of crashed the party. I showed up again, I believe it was 2014 in Copenhagen. I showed up. They wouldn't let me in that time, so I had to pester them from outside with questions. But I've been following these people for a long time. The media used to say that it was fake, that it was conspiracy theory, that it was tinfoil hat stuff. Of course, now the Bilderberg actually has a website. They put out a little press release. They tell you what topics they're going to be talking about. They give you a partial attendee list. And so what it is, essentially, going back to the 1950s, it was founded by David Rockefeller, the former Nazi Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, and a few other literally former Nazi officer, by the way. They came together and they thought, we need a secret meeting bringing together European elites with American elites so we can plot the course of humanity. And they've met annually ever since. This year was in Stockholm, which is my old stomping grounds. Lived there for many years. And same as always, some of the top figures in banking, government, military, the head of NATO was there. Peter Thiel, PayPal Mafia, Palantir CEO was there. The Swedish prime minister was there. The opposition leader from Sweden was there. The Wallenbergs, who own 40% of the Swedish stock market, was there. And one of the things that was interesting about this one, Dave, is they're really coming out of the closet. You know, Alice Bailey, the old founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, a very influential New Age thinker with these weirdo globalists, she talked about the externalization of the hierarchy, where as we get closer to the New World Order, the one world system that they want, they'll kind of come out of the closet and induct the whole world into their weird secret occultism. And I think we're starting to watch that, right? They met in a major hotel right in downtown Stockholm, right, where everybody could see. It was all in the news in Sweden. So we're seeing a shift, right? They used to hide. Now they're like, yeah, we're your overlords. What are you going to do about it? Right. And they talked about AI. They talked about depopulation. They talked about mass migration. And what we have seen, I mean, all this is off the record, obviously. They have Chatham House rules where everybody's supposed to be able to speak freely. You're not supposed to say what anybody else said. But there have been little tidbits over the years that have been released and public statements by some of the people involved. One of them who was on the steering committee, he actually bragged that, yeah, we want a world government, but it's for your own good because you guys are morons. And if we don't have a world government, you'll keep killing yourselves. They bragged about their role in creating the euro, imposing the European Union on the Europeans. So very, very open in some cases about what they've been up to. Mm-hmm. And I think really when you boil it down, I did a chapter on them in my book on the deep state. This is one of the critical institutions of power that governs the world from behind the scenes. You know, obviously, we've got the Apostle Paul reveals that the powers and principalities we know from Ephesians 6. But then they've got these human minions. And I think Bilderberg is one of the key fora for that. They bring in people like Governor of Arkansas, no-name Bill Clinton. Next year, he's president of the United States. They bring in a no-name member of parliament in the UK, Tony Blair. Boom, next year, he's your prime minister. The BBC actually reported that every president of the European Union in the run-up to becoming the president of the European Union actually attended Bilderberg. So they seem to do kind of like job interviews, right? Will you go along with our goals? Very, very nefarious group, dominated by tyrants, New Agers, it's very, very disappointing and troubling. So,
well, just one more thing from your article that I want you to elaborate on just a little bit. I found it fascinating that it says they discuss global plans for progress and advancing a future that you get no vote or voice in. And then Will Hutton, he's from the University of Oxford. He's a bigwig there. He said the consensus established at the Bilderberg Conference is the backdrop against which policy is made worldwide. It's pretty scary to think that they actually do have that kind of power.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, if it weren't for what we know from the scriptures, it would be terrifying, right? Yeah. That we've got a bunch of megalomaniacs meeting behind closed doors and taxpayer-funded security plotting our future. We know that God laughs at them. I go to Psalm 2, verse 4. You'll see God laughing at these people. He's going to speak to them in his wrath. And so praise God for that. But yeah, it's a very concerning thing. I think these people need to repent immediately while they still have time. But they are absolutely setting policy there. I actually ran into the leader of the Dutch Labor Party at the 2014 Bilderberg event in Copenhagen. And I asked him through a fence, You know, hey, all the American bigwigs who show up at these things say they're just there as private persons, and you know, they're not participating in a public capacity. Are you here in a public capacity? And his response, I got it on camera, was very telling. He said, "Yes, you know, I'm a politician. Of course, I'm here in a public capacity. I can't just turn that off." And as far as I'm concerned, that puts U.S. participants in some pretty serious legal jeopardy. We still have a statute on the books going back to early on in our history that makes it a crime, the Logan Act, for them to be negotiating with foreign officials on behalf of the United States without explicit authorization from the president.
Interesting. And one of the topics was depopulation. Why? Because humans are the problem and depopulation is one of the solutions because of climate change. So when we come back with Alex Newman, we'll talk about weaponizing Mother Earth for global and economic political control. Also, how that also plays in the climate alarmism. There's this common thread with globalists. It also plays into religions of the world uniting. We'll talk about that when we come back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Friends, right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. To celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15. Save 15%. That's David15. And save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. So we are going to get to this extensive article that you can find over at the Liberty Sentinel, A Climate of Tyranny. We'll get to that in a minute, but I don't want to run out of time before we talk about this idea of uniting world religions, uniting a one world religion, what some of these leaders are saying. It's very interesting. And what brings them together? And you say that global leaders are working to create one big global green religion. And it talks about the new world religion, raising Mother Earth to the level of deity. Interesting. It's not Father Earth. But Alex, just start us off here because it's fascinating. It's not surprising that they want to, under the guise of unity, and unity sounds good, right? But I don't think that's a good thing when you talk about uniting all religions. If you believe in biblical Christianity, saying Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, go ahead.
That's the only thing you can't say with the one world religious movement, right? The only one that's not acceptable is the idea that Jesus Christ is the way. You can even say Jesus is a way, right? As long as you worship him alongside hundreds of millions of other deities, you're good. Jesus could be a way. Hey, we like Jesus too. I mean, what a nice guy, right? Healed people. But no, if you say Jesus is the way, you're one of those divisive extremists and you need to be shunned and ostracized because you are interfering with progress. Now, Alice Bailey, I mentioned earlier, Lucifer Publishing Company, a very influential woman. She talked about the emerging one world religion, one world government. And she was channeling a demon that she called an ascended master. Sounds kind of crazy, I know, but it's perfectly in line with what the scriptures tell us we should expect to see. And what she talked about was the big obstacle in the way of this is what she described as the great heresy of separateness, which, you know, if you go back to your Bible, God says, "Be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." That's the problem. You don't want to be part of this? Well, you're being one of those bigots, one of those religious nut jobs, and you are in the way. So I've watched the emergence of this over the years, Dave. Every year almost, I go to the UN's climate summits for the New American Magazine. And I've seen this. In 2022, we were on the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt, and the UN and friends unveiled the new and supposedly improved Ten Commandments. They walked up to the top of Mount Sinai, all these religious leaders, self-proclaimed, and they unveiled new and improved green Ten Commandments. Like, compassion means feeling the cry of Mother Earth in response to climate change and other absurdities. So they're bringing all these religions together. They're doing it very openly. The UN has the Faith for Earth initiative. There's a UN-funded organization called Religions for Peace, and the leader of that until recently, Dr. Azza Karam, I've got her on camera saying all religions are part of this process. All faith traditions. And thankfully, that's not true. I asked my pastor. Turns out we are not part of that, praise the Lord. But they're dead serious about this, folks. And again, I've watched it come out of the closet. I interviewed some of these people at the UN summit, and they told me not only do we have the new Ten Commandments, we're also now working on the third covenant that we're going to use, the CEO of the Peace Department, James Sternlicht, told me, to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So that's what they're doing. Very, very plain. And I would encourage people to read this article because it's even wiggling its way into evangelical churches. Oh, yeah. The Vatican is deeply involved. A lot of the Orthodox churches are involved. And folks, you should be very, very concerned about this.
Absolutely. I mean, again, they talk about unity, but what if whatever idea or religion or principles they're promoting go against what you read in your Bible? Is the Bible the word of God? It is inerrant, right? I mean, we've got to talk about these things. And then there's some confusion out there too, Alex, because some world religion leaders, for example, just Pope Francis, and this is in your article, some of the things that he's said in the past, like all religions are paths to God. Indirectly, maybe, if you talk about God judging, but it doesn't mean they're going to be saved, and that doesn't mean they're going to have eternal life in heaven. So that's very confusing, potentially, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mean, just the scriptures are so clear on this. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? You can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other. You cannot serve Christ and mammon. You cannot serve Christ and money. You cannot worship yourself and also worship Jesus. So you really have two choices here. And Jesus is very explicit about this twice in the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. He's quoted as saying, you're either with me or against me. So I'm sorry, folks. You know, we want to reach the people who are lost. We want to reach the people who are on the broad way, but we certainly don't want to unite with them in their errors. If we truly love them, and they portray this as loving. If you truly love people, and the Bible says they're going to spend eternity apart from God in hell without Christ, what kind of loving person would say, oh yeah, just keep walking down that broad road. Yeah, see where it goes. No, a loving person would say, hey, wake up, wait, no, you can't go that way. Bad things will happen. You want to be on the narrow path by following Christ. So this is incredibly dangerous, Dave, and there's nothing loving about this. You know, the scriptures are very clear. It's very unpopular and controversial to say it, but the Apostle Paul said it, so I'll say it too. The things that the pagans are sacrificing to their idols, they're actually sacrificing to demons. We do not want to be yoked together with that ever under any circumstances.
Yes, we are to preach the gospel with them. We are not to unite or be unequally yoked. Thank you for pointing that out again, Alex. Very important. We're running out of time. Let's jump. And this is a very extensive article, Religions of the World Unite, over at libertysentinel.org. But let's jump to A Climate of Tyranny. Again, we're going to still talk about Mother Earth in this one, too. That's a concept, that a pagan concept, and is not biblical, Mother Earth. Destroy the patriarchy. So, Alex, climate alarmism, this is a globalist agenda. One of the quotes from this article, global problems require global solutions. Just give us an overview and we'll dive into whatever we can in 5 minutes.
Yeah, time always goes so quick with you, Dave. It's so much to talk about. I appreciate it. But I would encourage people who want to learn more about this, get these articles. We've got a special report out for The New American in June. It's called The Global Power Grab. And we're breaking down all these different things, the global taxes, the global environmental controls, the global religion, all of it wrapped into one. But since we're on this subject, Dave, and before we went to break, we were talking about the Bilderberg and the depopulation. This is actually the Agenda 21 for Children book produced by the United Abominations. So if you're listening to us on podcast, I'm holding a book in my hand. It says Rescue Mission Planet Earth, a children's edition of Agenda 21. Now, Agenda 21 is the UN's plan for the 21st century. If you look on the back here, for those of you watching us, you can actually see it's published by the UN, the UN Environment Program, and UNESCO, which is the UN Education Agency. And I'm open to a page right now. It says the baby bomb. And adjacent to the page, you've got these Hindu deities sitting up in a cloud, and they're very, very alarmed. And then here you see all these storks delivering all these babies. That's why the Hindu deities are so alarmed. And the planet is like burning, climate change, whatever. And then you look on the page adjacent to it, and it says right here in very clear language, the planet groans every time it registers another birth. This is what the UN is teaching your children. Now let's go back to what God said, right? Going back to clear to Genesis. He said, be fruitful and multiply. It was literally the first command that he gave us. How can we allow our children to be taught this madness by the UN? The climate doesn't need you to save it. The planet's not going to be destroyed because you have babies. This is wickedness, Dave, and it has to be exposed.
Well, one of the most sobering, I mean, there's a lot sobering in this article. One of the lines is they really believe this. And so if you believe something, you will act on it. The real enemy is humanity itself. That's why there's so much focus on depopulation. So in another couple minutes, Alex, share whatever else you'd like about that.
Yeah, people need to understand that that is the agenda, right? It is satanic if we're just going to come out and be plain spoken about what's going on here. This is diabolical. It comes from the pit of hell. Everything God teaches, these people want to turn it upside down. God ordained nations. They want to undermine nations and build a one world government. God ordained the family. They want to smash the family, and they disguise it with different terms. But ultimately, it's about smashing the family. God created two sexes, so they want to create infinite genders. God said, be fruitful and multiply. So they want to say, don't be fruitful, don't multiply. That's going to be bad for the poor, suffering Mother Earth. Everything that God teaches, they are flipping on its head. God says, thou shalt not steal. They say, we need to steal everything from everyone to redistribute resources in an equitable way. God says, thou shalt not murder. They say, did God really say? Is that really a human? I mean, come on, right? We're talking here about the mass slaughter of unborn babies, fully backed by the UN. It's wickedness. It's absolute wickedness. Yeah. And Christians at least need to not just understand this, but they need to resist it. They need to expose it. Ephesians 5:11 tells us to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. And so I believe, as the Apostle Paul says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're not going to fall for these pathetic tricks. And if we see it in our churches, we're going to call it out and say, no, that is not right. That doesn't line up with what the Word of God teaches. We are not going along with it. Just critical stuff for people to understand, Dave.
And briefly, back to the idea of control. We're going to wrap it up here in a minute. Under this section, humanity or CO2, it says humanity now has a big target on its back, and it's all because of carbon dioxide. Every single human activity, including breathing, releases carbon dioxide. It's literally the perfect excuse to control every human and every human activity. And then it goes on, but this is what the globalists are about. And they're pushing this agenda, this warped ideology. And they have success because the media covers for them and on and on and on. So, Alex, before we let you go, you're out there traveling. You go to a lot of these. You speak at conferences. You do quite a bit of work and great, excellent writing, I should say. How can we be praying for you personally?
Well, thank you, brother. Just pray that God would continue to take me to places where I need to be, that he would protect me and my family as we go about doing his work, and that he would guide us every step of the way and use us as his instruments for his purposes, for his glory. And Dave, really appreciate all that you do. Thank you very much for having me on the program, sir, and God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. It's a privilege to have men of God like yourself on. It's the honor is here. LibertySentinel.org. Thanks for your time, Alex. Friends, thank you so much for sharing the podcast. It's getting out there, and under God, it's his sovereignty, but we're not doing it. It's, of course, the guests, the topics, and you, your prayers and your financial support. So thank you so much. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.